Welcome to the Lifecast. We hope that you find this ministry of New Life Assembly of God as an encouragement to you. You will hear messages and lessons in God's Word by our staff and special guests. Enjoy the podcast.
No, some of you don't know me. Well, now you do. I'm excited to be sharing with you this morning. I love to preach. Preaching is fun. It's exciting. It's good stuff. So just to be used by God in any way, shape, or form is just fun to do, and it's fulfilling. So this morning, we're gonna start off on, like, first base, all right? Well, maybe that's a bad analogy. Never mind. we're going to start off with square one. That's better. A little bit, and then we're going to move forward, and then we're going to get kind of to the meat of this morning, all right? Because there's a lot of things that get chaotic and confusing when you have to read scripture on your own or when you hear people talk about things. And you've been in a service before where there was a salvation message. Probably. I'm guessing you have. If you haven't, well, salvation message. It's Jesus died for our sins, so we accept him as our Lord and Savior. I'm saved. It's pretty simple, straightforward. Gospel message. But then there's levels to this whole thing, and sometimes we get caught up after salvation. We experience salvation, the salvation call, whether it was, everybody's head bowed and you raise your hand, or whether it was out on the street and somebody gave you a track, or whatever it is. You were at camp. I don't know. Maybe you were at home and your parents led you to the Lord. I don't know. Whatever it is, you experience salvation, but then after salvation, things get confusing, perplexing. Where do I go? What do I do? And there's so many different callings in the Bible, directives, if you would, work, jobs to do as a Christian. But we get so lost in this whole thing, and salvation is square one. Understanding Jesus Christ died for me. He is my Lord and Savior. Well, then what comes after that? And people discuss these things, and they get very confused because I think there's something that happens where people get a little bit scared. They don't want to lose their salvation. So they don't want to dabble into too much. They don't want to learn about this. They don't want to look into that. They just, nope, salvation, 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 salvation. And we start thinking about, I just want to make it to heaven. I don't know about all this extra this is a whole lot of everything going on, you know? I feel like people are pretty safe, like, oh, water baptism? Okay, yeah, I could do that. That's pretty simple. Just jump in the hot tub, get dunked. Easy, right? But then you get into, like, you know, baptism in the Holy Spirit. Then it's like, all right, now things are getting a little weird. That's 0 to 60 very fast, okay? And then you make disciples of all nations, but then be a witness. And is witnessing different than discipling? And then you start getting confused. And then you start getting into, well, the Holy Spirit, it's not just baptism of the Holy Spirit, it's the gifts of the Holy Spirit. But then there's the spiritual offices, and then things get very confusing. And here's the deal. I'm not going to explain all of it to you this morning. But what I'm going to do is, after salvation, I'm going to talk about one thing that I think is most important. Now, when I say most important, I don't want you to think that I'm ranking things, and I don't want you to take that information and be like, well, that means I don't have to do this other part because it's not as important. Further down on the to-do list. That's not the point of the message this morning. The point of the message is to get us to a place that is healthy and right after salvation so that we can grow and be used by God in a healthy manner. Because what happens is we get saved, and when we don't get to that healthy point after salvation of understanding where do I go from here, all of a sudden we get caught, and I've talked about this before, we get caught in the blender. You know what a blender is? It goes round and round and round and round and round. Doesn't go anywhere. We get caught in a cycle. That cycle is the cycle of salvation. I get saved, I sin, I get saved. I sin, I get saved. I sin, I get saved. And we just go respond to, and I'm not saying you shouldn't respond to salvation calls if you've been saved once. I'm not preaching that once saved, always saved. Trust me, we're not doing that. And we're not doing predestination. Sorry, Calvinists. The only Calvin I like is Calvin and Hobbes. But we're moving on from here, okay? We're moving on. And what happens after salvation is this next word that I'm going to use. It begins with an S, and it's sanctification. Now, sanctification, in simple terms, if you pull it from the AG website, there's a very long paragraph. And it's informational, it's important. We covered it a Wednesday ago in our 16 Fundamental Truths, because it's one of the fundamental truths is sanctification. But sanctification is an ongoing process of becoming holy, to align ourselves with Scripture and who Jesus was, is, and how God has called us to be. But the importance of understanding this is, let's see, let's go to John chapter 3. Because where we can get lost sometimes, and you see stories in Scripture, the rich young ruler, for instance, right? And there's other people throughout history that have gotten lost in this, is that I experience salvation, and then I hear about sanctification, and sanctification, you know, becoming more holy, which means less sin. So then we look at the physical, and we try all we might and all we can in the physical and doing physical things right. But what ends up happening, because we are human and we are physical beings, we start to get, well, nearsighted, right? We only see so shallow, and we only see in the physical, but understanding that there is a whole spiritual side to this. There's a whole spiritual action, that we are a spiritual being, that we have a soul, that sin is not just about the physical. Sin is not just about the physical. And so in John 3, all right, let's start with 5. John 3, verse 5. Jesus replied, "I assure you, no one can enter the kingdom of God without being born of water and the Spirit. Humans can reproduce only human life, but the Holy Spirit gives birth to spiritual life. So don't be surprised when I say you must be born again." There's some versions that say, we are flesh born in the flesh, but that we are also spirit born in the Spirit. And it's converging these two things, understanding that there is a physical part of who we are and our life, but there is a spiritual side. And if you've read any amount of Scripture, you understand that there is the unseen realm. There's the unseen spiritual realm. You cannot see your soul. Your spirit doesn't mean they don't exist. And so when we look at sanctification and when we dive into this, we start to just look at the physical sin. And we don't ever deal with the spiritual. But here's the thing. The physical side of sin is birthed from the spiritual. How we know this is in Ephesians 6. Ephesians 6, starting in verse 10. This is a fairly common section of Scripture, right? It's really popular in kids' church because then it means you get to bust out the plastic armor and like dress up and do the whole thing. You know, it's pretty fun, exciting. I am not going to do that this morning, okay? Sorry, disappointing, but just not going to do it. I'm already sweating enough up here. A final word, be strong in the Lord and his mighty power. Put on all God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. Pause. The devil, Satan, once called Lucifer, rebelled, cast down to earth, one-third of the angels with him. And if you're like, whoa, 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 we're getting into that Sasquatch talk again. No, we're not. We're getting into scriptural talk, okay? This is what I mean. If this conversation weirds you out, this is because you have been spending so much time in the physical and nothing in the spiritual. There is a spiritual unseen realm. Satan and devil is real. And guess what? Even Jesus said, the ruler of this world. Who is he referring to? Satan. Well, how can Satan rule over the world? Because he was given power over the earth. Well, that doesn't make sense. Why would God give the same reason he put the tree of good and evil in the beginning? Because without that, how is he going to know we love him? If I was the last man on earth and Naomi picked me, is that impressive? I mean, kinda. No, I'm just kidding. No, it's not at all impressive whatsoever. It's the fact that she chose. It's the fact that I chose. That's why, side note, there's no such thing as your one true love. Okay? Let's stop speaking that out over people's lives. All right? Because if that was the case, God has one for you. He has one person, yes, like you're going to be with a person. But he doesn't have that person ordained, picked out, because then that means it infringes on your free will, which he will never do. So let's get that out of here real quick, because then it deludes people's minds in their youth, and then we end up with really messed up marriages. Anyway, and dating scene and so on. But, beside the point, okay, to know that we love him, that's why Satan has authority on this earth, in this world, and what's going on around us. That's why when Jesus was tempted, bow down to me and I will give you all these kingdoms. He wasn't lying. Well, he could have, been, maybe he was going to backstab him. But he had this authority that he could have given. But that authority wasn't really his to give, because it wasn't his to begin with. It was given to him by Jesus' father, and Jesus knew that, and so he didn't. Okay, yeah, sorry. Spoiler alert. But as we continue on, the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers, authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Heavenly places is the unseen world. Okay, so now you've heard this. Maybe you've heard this scripture before, but have you really thought about it? And if you have you read the Old Testament? You realize, like me and you, when you hear evil spirits, evil rulings, and, you know, principalities and darkness, you think really nasty, ugly devils, right? Demons, yuck. If you've seen, you know, depending on your choice of movies over the years, maybe you've seen something so you can really imagine it. Somebody's painted that picture for you, whatever it is. Well, I want you to know something. You think, oh, evil, yuck, gross, eh. But you want to know something. Look in the Old Testament. People worshipped these principalities. These principalities weren't all ugly and evil. In Greek mythology, there's Aphrodite, goddess of love. The equivalent and the true name is Ishtar. And understanding that evil, that is a dark principality in the unseen realm. And you think that, oh, gross, awful, never, ever serve grody. But in reality, people worship them. Not just people, God's people. Read the Old Testament. Baal, God of prosperity. That's what he was known. Baal was the God of prosperity. People worshiped him. A golden calf. That was Baal worship. I mean, his symbol was the bull of prosperity, goodness, all these things. And guess what? They made a golden calf, a golden bull. Guess where else there's a bull statue? In New York City. And it represents a prosperous market. Now, I'm not here to tell you the New York Stock Exchange, that's evil. Never invest. No, that's not what I'm saying at all. I'm just saying it's very interesting how we get to that point where we erect a statue to represent the bull market, because bull is prosperity, but that is exactly what they did in the Old Testament. It's just interesting. We don't even need to get into the arches of the Baal temples that were once destroyed. Baal worship, the temples were connected by this big arch, and they were destroyed. Woo! You know who destroyed them? ISIS. Oh, I would have guessed it was America. No, it was ISIS. They destroyed them. ISIS destroyed them. Oh, but guess who resurrected them? Well, it's got to be, nope, America. The next few years, it was erected again, these temples that connected this idol of Baal in New York, and they connected again. They were destroyed in 2015 by ISIS, and then later, the arches showed up in France and then in New York. It's just interesting. I don't know. When we get into this and we think, you know, it's just physical. It's just an inanimate object. Well, Scripture tells me that we're not fighting against flesh and blood and inanimate objects, but there's a darkness and a principality. And we think about these things and we think, ooh, they're gross. I would never do such a thing. I would never look at such a thing. I would never, ever. And all of a sudden, they're seeping into our culture, into our lives. And while we are here caught in the cycle of salvation, and while we are here and we're focusing on just the physical, you know, the physical sin, do not do this physical thing. And we're not fighting in the spiritual. And we're not doing the spiritual things that counteract in the unseen realm and what they are. If we continue on, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of the evil. In the time of evil. Sorry. Pause. Because we focus so much on the physical, it's actually surprising to me that we don't just walk around with actual armor on. It is talking about spiritual armor, though. But it'd be better off if it said physical armor, because I feel like, because we're so focused on the physical and not doing and focusing and physically, I got to, you know, in the physical realm, I got to do this. And we completely lose out on the spiritual realm. Our soul is weak. Our spirit is weak. It's dry. It's struggling. It's taken arrows. It's taken shots from the darkness and the principalities. Why? Because Satan is the ruler of this world. And we cannot serve two masters. Cannot be of this world and of God. Sit at the table of the Lord and sit at the table of demons. We can't do this. And so it goes through the entire armor of God, which is important. I encourage you to read through it. But one part in there, in addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Literally, the devil. Not just, ooh, fiery arrows coming in. Somebody made up a rumor about me. Somebody said something mean to me. And I'm using words there because there's an Old Testament scripture that talks about, I fool my neighbor by saying I was only joking. But really, I'm a maniac flinging flying arrows of death. See, we do that a lot, right? We say something to somebody, oh, I'm just kidding. But see, we look at that and we say, somebody said something mean to me. Somebody did this and did that, and it's the fiery arrows. Well, the devil. See, we look at that person and we say, I got to stop that person from saying that. We never think and say, man, I got to get the devil and the enemy out of here from making coming at me like that. Who are we fighting? What are we doing? Which realm are we trying to wage war in? Because only one of those realms matters, because then that can show up in the physical realm. There are things to do in the physical realm. I'm not saying just sit around and be lazy. But the spiritual war and battle that it calls us to fight, continues on in verse 18, pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers everywhere. Praying for one another, praying in the Spirit. It's always interesting to me, why does it say pray in the Spirit every day? But I thought the Spirit wasn't for nowadays. I thought it stopped back then. No, the Spirit is for now. The Holy Spirit is for now. And praying in the Spirit is now. And we are called to do it every day. That is part of the spiritual battle. this fight in the unseen realm. There is nothing more that the enemy would want is for us to feel uncomfortable in doing the things God has called us to do, because then we will not do them and we will not fight in the spiritual realm. And he'll just keep on, keep on, keep on. As ruler of this world, Satan and his power. Now, here's the deal. My message this morning is not to glorify Satan. All right? So throw that excuse out the window for not listening to the message. Because here's the deal. He loses the battle. He's already lost. But that doesn't mean that once saved, always saved. You can still lose. We can still lose. Because when we sin, when we look at sin in Genesis, all the way back, Genesis 4, verse 7, is talking about Cain and Abel. All right? You will be accepted if you do what is right. But if you refuse to do what is right, then watch out! Sin is crouching at the door, eager to control you. But you must subdue it and be its master. You must be its master before it masters you. And if that is your master, you cannot have God as a master. Scripture's clear. So when we look at that, we see sin. There's not just the physical ramifications, right? There's the practical side to sin. Like, hey, you know what? You probably shouldn't lie. Why? Well, because then you're not going to have any friends. There is a physical ramification. People are going to hate you, all right? But then there's the spiritual side. The spiritual side of what you've done. The separation from God. And when you sin, like it says, it's crouching right outside the door. As soon as you open, boom. You must master it before it masters you. And pretty soon, sin is taking over your life and flesh. Your carnal desire in James chapter 1, verse 13. And remember, when you are being tempted, like, I want to sin. I want to sin. I'm doing SoulCon right now with a group of guys, all right? And it was a tougher week. Well, and I got to go away this week and spend some time with my dad. It was really fun, you know. It's one thing you don't realize when you start working for your dad. There's a day that you miss and you look forward to, and that is the day where my dad can just be my dad again, not just my boss. So it was nice to get away this week with him, and we got to go see the Seniors U.S. Open, the PGA, all right, for the old people. It is what it is. It's the Seniors Open, all right? But who knew that we had that nice of a golf course in Wisconsin? Oh, my goodness. That was fun. I was out there watching some of these old guys, and I'm like, hey, my golf game ain't that bad. And then we show up on round one day, and I saw a dude hold out from 130 yards. I was like, yep, okay, never mind. This is why they are out here. Shouldn't judge their practice round. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, okay. James 1. Verse 13, tempted. Do not say God is tempting me. God is never tempting or tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. See, we stayed at this Airbnb, and it was like a shared house, and we had our own room kind of a thing. Well, we had separate rooms, but in the upstairs of their home. Come downstairs in the morning, and they had a plate of donuts. I like donuts. I really like donuts. Maple is my favorite, in case you ever think of me. And not maple with bacon on it. I like my bacon separate, and I like it by the pound, okay? You can't just give me one slice of bacon. You think I'm kidding. I'm not. I can eat about 5 slices of bacon for breakfast and be good all day. That stuff, I can run all day on that. But anyway, there's donuts there. I did not eat them. My dad can attest to that. But, man, there's times where something like that comes up and you're like, Lord, what are you doing? Well, it's not him. That's not him. Like it says, God is tempting me. God is never tempted to do wrong, and he never tempts anyone else. Temptation comes from our own desires, which entice us and drag us away. These desires give birth to sinful actions, and when sin is allowed to grow, it gives birth to death. There's this whole spiritual side of sin, not just the physical. I eat the donuts, I feel awful, and I get fat. It's the physical side. Now, you're like, what spiritual side is there to you eating that donut, Brock? Well, I wouldn't be a man of my word. I'm doing SoulCon with a big group of guys. We're not supposed to eat that. No, it's not meant to rob me of life and enjoyment. But I'll tell you what, the enjoyment is more so when I get to talk with these guys and we talk about how miserable we are. No, just kidding. That's not what it's meant to be either. That's another sin issue. But see, there's this spiritual side. Oh, I'll eat it, but I just won't tell them. And that's not lying, but it's... Trust me, I found a lot of good ways to... Oh, it's not lying. Driving with my dad once. He's like, well, we got to get home. And I said, text mom and say we're on our way home. Because we are. It's just that we might stop on the way there. You know, that just makes sense to me. I am technically on my way home. Home is east, or that's north, sorry, north. And we're heading north, so we're heading home. And our intention is to end up at home. Sorry, I'm giving people ideas right now. I shouldn't be doing this. It's like, you know, when I used to preach to the youth, I had to really be careful. A lot of you are above that, I'm sure. But it's our own desires. What is desire? What is desire? It's this unseen thing. It's this unseen thing that we have this desire. Now you see something, but that desire, that physical, ooh, I want. Envy, jealousy, coveting, that come from desire. That come from, oh, but my heart, I want it. Well, when you look at history and ancient mythology and these gods and goddesses and idols that were worshipped and where desire comes from, it's very interesting to understand why and see how desire is such an evil thing. The heart is deceitful above all things. Don't listen to your heart, no matter how many songs sound great and movies inspire you. Follow your heart. Don't do it. In Galatians chapter 6, see, there's this spiritual realm and the spiritual ramifications of sin. Sin, not just physical, spiritual. Galatians 6, starting in verse 7. Don't be misled. You cannot mock the justice of God. Mock in this context means like stick your nose up at. It doesn't just mean like, ha-ha, make fun of. It means stick your nose up at. Mock the justice of God. You will always harvest what you plant. Those who live only to satisfy their own sinful nature will harvest decay and death from the sinful nature. But those who live to please the Spirit will harvest everlasting life from the Spirit. So let's not get tired of doing what is good. At just the right time, we will reap a harvest of blessing if we don't give up. Therefore, whenever we have the opportunity, we should do good to everyone, especially to those in the family of faith. Depending on what version you read, it words it a lot different, but what it's talking about is sowing in the flesh and sowing in the Spirit. When you sow in the flesh, you're going to reap of the flesh. But when you sow in the Spirit, you're going to reap of the Spirit. And so when we are battling, when we are fighting this fight of faith, this good fight, and we are just sowing in the flesh. I'm reading books how to curb my addictions, my struggles, my intrusive thoughts, my whatever it may be. And we are not sowing in the Spirit. We will continue to harvest death and decay. There's no other two ways about it. There's no two ways about it. We have to fight this in the spiritual because, like I said earlier, like we read in scripture earlier, we are not just flesh, we are spirit. And you can't neglect your spirit. It's like those guys who only bench press and never squat. It's really big. And then they walk out from behind the podium and then their legs are little toothpicks. It's, all right. No, I'm just going to stay behind here. I don't know. I heard a couple giggles, and I was like, wait a minute. I don't think they're laughing at my joke. I think they're laughing at me. Rude. Anyway, reap what you sow. No, I'm just kidding. But the spiritual realm, this fight, we got to understand this. We got to understand this because in Hebrews, and I've read this scripture before, it's one of my favorite sections of scripture, but also one of my least favorite sections of scripture. We shouldn't rank them, but it is what it is. It's so like, you know, if Mike Tyson punched you in the face, that's what it's like, okay? So in chapter 5, starting in verse 11, there's much more we would like to say about this, but it is difficult to explain, especially since you are spiritually dull and don't seem to listen. Thanks. Thank you so much for pointing out the obvious. Like I didn't know, but I've been busying myself and doing all these other things right so I don't have to pay attention to that. Sound familiar? Just curious. You have been believers so long that you ought to be teaching others. Instead, you need someone to teach you again the basic things about God's word. You are like babies who need milk and cannot eat solid food. For someone who lives on milk is still an infant and doesn't know how to do what is right. Solid food is for those who are mature, who through training have the skill to recognize the difference between right and wrong. It's talking about this, what I was talking about earlier, salvation and sanctification. It's talking about, man, some of you are just stuck in the blender of salvation. You need the basic fundamentals of God and his word again. Is it not time that you were teaching that to someone? Teaching, discipling? Because through sanctification, we start to know what is right and wrong. We start to go on this journey. We are no longer babes in the spirit, but big, strong people. Yeah, the opposite of baby, adult. There you go. That probably was a lot easier. But see, when we neglect the things of the spiritual realm, and we get caught. How do we get caught in that salvation cycle? It's when we don't understand the spiritual realm, when we don't understand that there's a spiritual fight, when all we do is focus on sin, salvation. I sin this week, salvation. Sin this week, salvation. Sin this. And I am not saying that you shouldn't repent when you sin. Yes, you need to do this. It's not one, then the other, one, then the other. You can be in the process of sanctification, sin, struggle, repent, process of sanctification, and keep moving forward. It's not you have to be saved, then salvation. I know I kind of said the steps to it. I'm talking about from lost to salvation. Once you experience salvation, then it's this process of sanctification. But sanctification is not just the physical. It's the spiritual. And we're supposed to be moving on by now. A call to spiritual growth is the section title. So continuing on. So let us stop going over the basic teachings about Christ again and again. Let us go on instead and become mature in our understanding. Surely we don't need to start again with the fundamental importance of repenting from evil deeds, even though I did this morning, and placing our faith in God. Saying, like, see, you get it. It's there. Boom, there you go. Do I really need to repeat myself? That's what it sounds. I'm not talking about me. I'm talking about scripture. It's so interesting. You don't need further instruction about baptism, the laying on of hands, the resurrection of the dead, and eternal judgment. And so, God willing, we will move forward to further understanding. That's the point of this morning. What I'm talking about this morning is not jeopardizing your salvation. There's so many people that struggle in life and they begin to question their salvation. Am I saved? Am I not? Am I saved? Am I not? Am I saved? Am I not? And they start to doubt their salvation. More often than not, that is because there is a sin issue in your life that is left unrepented and unaddressed, and it's because you are losing the battle in the spiritual. You are focusing so much on the physical that you forget the spiritual side of sanctification in our life, and we start to question our salvation because we go on sinning, because that sin is ruling in our life, because we've opened the door to sin and Satan and the enemy, and we are now serving two masters, which we cannot do. So through repentance, through that repentance and continual sanctification, which Scripture tells us, sanctification by the truth, God's word, we will be sanctified by truth. That's God's word bringing us out of this. Because in 2 Timothy chapter 2, here's a verse that's also hard-hitting. If you keep yourself pure, you will be a special utensil for honorable use. Your life will be clean, and you will be ready for the master to use you for every good work. Like at the beginning, I said we experience salvation, and then there's so many jobs to do as a Christian. Witness, disciple, then we get into the spiritual gifts, and then we get into serving and operating as the church and ordinances of the church, and where do I serve, spiritual offices, and this and that. It becomes a lot simpler when you just focus on God and you focus on becoming like him and walking with him and just sanctifying yourself. We sanctify ourselves by the truth, which is God's word, focusing in on this. Because what the scripture is telling us, when we are sanctified, pure, when we are becoming holy, then we are ready for every good work. I don't know what I'm doing. I don't know what to say. I don't know how to witness. I don't know how to disciple. I don't know how. You will be ready if you sanctify yourself, if you pursue the truth, if you get into his word. You don't have to worry about all the other hoops and jumble, mumbo jumbo that, you know what, it's really great that we can encourage one another as a body, but when somebody tells you that, well, you got to do this, 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 it's not like that. There are important things that the scripture calls us to do, and we should take time for them, yes. But you know what? How about you just focus on sanctification, becoming more like Christ? Because within that sanctification, it's not just the physical, but it's the spiritual. Because the spiritual realm is real. It's the battle. And we've been losing it because we're not paying any attention to it. Whether it be that it makes us uncomfortable, or, well, I just don't believe in that. Whatever it may be, but it is, there's no point unless you're fighting the spiritual battle. Because you can't win in the flesh. You can't. The spiritual battle fought through prayer, fasting, the armor of God, sanctification by his word and truth. That's how we fight. There's a business in town that wants to do a drag show for all ages. Well, if we had a picket sign up, who wants to go out there and picket? Probably a decent amount of people. People picket stuff all the time, stand out there and protest. Oh, but when there's a prayer walk, two people show up. That's all I need to know that people ain't paying attention to the spiritual battle. That's all I need to know. That's all we have to look at. If it ain't a priority in our life, well, guess what? Okay. Then I'm sick and tired of hearing people complain about how America's going to hell. I'm tired of it. Unless you're going to fight the spiritual battle, then knock it off. Quit complaining about this vote, that vote, politics, this and that. Fight the spiritual battle. That is how we win. You're not going to change somebody from right, left, left, right, this and that, and then they'll be saved. No! You get them to turn their heart to God. It's a spiritual thing. That's what it is. Now, there's a lot of scripture and teaching this morning, but I don't want you to miss the point. I don't want you to go to sleep and leave and take a nap today and forget. Trust me, I'm taking a nap today. But you know what's interesting? Is when we sleep, our souls don't sleep. Our spirits, our souls don't sleep. That's not what it is. That's why night terrors are an attack of demonic forces. Because your soul isn't sleeping and it's undergoing a spiritual attack. That's what night terrors are. Now, you could go through all the therapy you want, but there's a spiritual side to this. And I'm not saying therapy isn't going to help, but what about the spiritual battle? Because I've been in these situations before, and let this be a little testimony. And I'm not one of those, I try not to over-spiritualize things. I know, as I'm preaching a message about this. But you know, I love my sister Jessica, but I remember when we were younger, she'd be driving and she'd be like, oh, that sign, somebody spray painted something on it. That means I must go do this. I think God wants, I don't know. I'm kind of joking around. I love her. If she's watching this, she might be. But I remember that. I would always be like, I don't know about that. That was somebody high on something, and they just drew on a sign. I don't know. Like, not saying God can't use them, but I don't know. But there's times, there's been times, and as of recent, I was in that half-awake stage early morning. Don't know what time it was. I wasn't awake enough to move, but I was awake enough to know, to think, to know what I'm thinking. And all of a sudden, I felt compelled. And all of a sudden, people started coming to mind. And they were people that, I'm going to be honest with you, I hated. And I don't use that word lightly, and I mean it. There were people that I never forgave. Because what they did to my dad, my mom, my family, what they said, what they did, stuff that really had no power, you know? But if you make my mom cry, I want to kick you in the face. It's just, it's what it is. I'm being sanctified, I'm being worked on. It's no excuse. But I'm telling you, when I was laying there, could not move my body, but felt awake and could think, and all of a sudden, that name came up. Then that next name came up. Then that next name came up. And I'm sitting there, and I'm just thinking, it just hit me, and the Lord spoke to me. And he's like, Brock, you're not moving forward until you forgive. You're here, and that's as high as you'll get unless you're willing to deal with this. And so there I was, not awake, but not asleep. And I just, I forgive. And I woke up the next morning like, what did I do last night? No, and I woke up the next day, though, and I had to deal with what my spirit's reactions were. And I had to think, well, Brock, you're no longer allowed to be mad. You're no longer allowed to think about them and say this or think that or whatever. And it hit me. And I have other stories and things like this, and I'm sure a lot of you have testimony and stories like this, but what I'm telling you is this, and I'm not saying it's going to always happen when you're sleeping, but then awake and kind of asleep, whatever. I'm talking, the spiritual battle is real. The spiritual realm is real. And why you may be stuck in a complacent place in your life, not ready for the good works, is because you haven't been being sanctified. But Brock, I've been doing all the things in the physical. What about the spiritual? Because if you sow in the spirit, you'll reap in the spirit. If you sow in the flesh, it's death and decay. It's for nothing. So go from this place and understand the spiritual battle. Pay attention. When you see the political headlines, when you see the things happening in Sparta, and oh boy, there's a lot. There's a lot. Don't think, oh, that person, that business, that. It is spiritual. And I encourage you to educate yourself on the principalities, the darkness, the evil that is coming, that has returned for since the Old Testament, that there's nothing new under the sun. It's not like something new showed up and God's like, oh, I don't know how to deal with this one. Nothing new under the sun. Read the Old Testament. A lot of stuff is happening. This isn't to prophesy doomsday. We got the victory. But we got to walk with him. Become more like him. Under his covering and his blessing and his instruction for us.
Thanks for joining us on the LifeCast. It is a ministry of New Life Assembly of God in Sparta, Wisconsin. If you are ever in the area, we would enjoy the opportunity of meeting you. Until then, remember, God is for you, not against you.